One of the realities of serving as a counselor at camp is you remain very, very humble. So I'm humbled once again this morning. But in our worship of God today, we have the wonderful blessing of witnessing the baptism of a child of God. So now I invite Tristan and Jessica to bring their daughter Millie forward to be baptized. As was just so well explained about baptism, the sacrament of baptism is a time of special celebration and in the life and the ministry of the Christian church. The sacrament of baptism is an outward and visible sign of the grace of God, inasmuch as the promise of the gospel is not only to us, but also to our children as well, as shared in Acts 3:39. Baptism with water and the Holy Spirit symbolizes their acceptance into the care of Christ's church, the sign and seal of their participation in God's forgiveness, and the beginning of their growth into full Christian faith and discipleship. The faith into which Millie is to be baptized is set forth in the words of the Apostles' Creed, which can be found on the inside back cover of the red hymnal, or here. Let us affirm our faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Tristan and Jessica have chosen Psalm 16:11 as a verse of Scripture which reflects their awareness of the blessing that the Lord has given them in the precious life of Millie, and the verse also speaks to their hopes for her future. Psalm 16:11. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Tristan and Jessica, I ask you as parents of Millie, is it your desire that your daughter be baptized into this faith as we have proclaimed it? If so, answer, it is.
It is.
Do you promise, with God's help, by your life and teaching, to lead Millie toward an understanding of the Christian gospel and of the service of Jesus Christ? If so, answer, we do.
We do.
Will you endeavor, God being your helper, to guide and instruct Millie that she may be led to the confession of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, to confirmation and to responsible membership in Christ's church, and to communion at the Lord's table? If so, answer, we will.
We will.
Members and friends of St. John's Christian Church, I commend to your love Millie Jean Cast, whom we welcome into the family of God through the sacrament of baptism. Will you who witness and celebrate this sacrament offer your prayers for Millie and for Tristan and Jessica as they love, nurture, and teach Millie in the way of the gospel of Jesus Christ? If so, please offer your assent through sharing the words of the congregational pledge as printed in the bulletin. Tristan and Jessica, you are baptizing your daughter Millie to the powerful and loving providence of God. We celebrate with you in the sacrament of faith. We pray for the Spirit's guidance for you and your efforts to provide a loving and caring home where trust in God grows and Christ's way is chosen. Our prayers will be with you and for you. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. You ready for this? Oh, look at that. Remember talking about this a couple of weeks ago? Yes. Millie Jean Cast, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. May God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless, preserve, and keep you all your days, that you may so live in this life and in the world to come, you have life everlasting. Amen. You want to walk down the aisle with me? look at this. You see any people out here? Yeah, they want to see you in your pretty little dress. She was smiling a little while ago. It's that water that's dripping in her eye. You got my hair wet. So this is Millie Jean Cast. Cute little eyes. And nice and quiet. She wasn't this quiet when I visited her in her home, was she? She had just finished dinner. Hey, look. There's the smile. Let's pray. Gracious Lord God, we thank you for the blessing of this young life. Lord, we pray your spirit will just continue to bless Millie and her parents as they live and grow together as a family and as they continue to grow in faith. Lord, may you continue to nurture. In Christ we pray. Amen. You're up.
Let's all sing together, "Jesus Loves Me." It can be found on page 579 in the red hymnal.
Our scripture reading this morning is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 11, and can be found on page 1147 in the Pew Bible. In these verses, Paul is making an appeal for giving to the Lord's work. Remember this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Praise be to God.
And I invite you to rise as you're able as we do another hymn sing. So we'll open up for a couple of more favorites of the congregation. 26, I heard. All right. Let's sing verses 1 and 4. Guess we need to do hymn sings more often. And there are two verses, we will sing both of them.
I looked at the bulletin 3 times to see if I was on stage right now, so let's bow for a word of prayer. God, as we turn to your word this morning, we pray for your spirit to be upon us in this time of instruction, this time of learning, that we would forget about ourselves and worship you. In Christ we pray, amen. I could preach for 20 minutes or I could preach for a minute. I don't know how much you've read 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 2 Corinthians chapter 9, but if you read those two passages, which are yoked together when Paul talks about giving, Paul really didn't need to write chapters 8 and 9. He really didn't need to write 9 to the Corinthian church. He was assured, if you read in earlier chapter, he was assured that the Corinthians were generous, and he knew that they would be ready. So he didn't really need to write the letter, but we read it today because he wrote the letter just to make sure the Corinthians were ready when Titus and some others came to receive their offering. He didn't want to catch them off guard. He knew they were generous, but he wanted to make sure. I know about the generosity of the St. John's Christian Church congregation. You are generous. Not only in taking care of the operating budget, but the mission budget, the building project budget, and so much more. Do I really need to preach for 20 minutes? Huh. That was part of the original intro. I opened up this hymnal to 588, "We Have Come Into His House." Let's forget about ourselves and magnify his name. Let's forget about ourselves. So the congregation is generous. What's the opposite of being generous? I learned about that at church camp this last week. Again, 95% of the campers that were there were tremendous little boys and girls. But oh, those 5%. They could not forget about themselves. They were soaked up in selfish behavior. And they could not admit when they were wrong. My mantra for the day was, hands to self. He hit me first. Every time. Nobody ever started anything. And they were so wrapped up in their selfishness, they could not be moved to generosity and thinking of others. Let's forget about ourselves. And so we consider generosity. Generosity is a necessary attitude of the Christian faith. There's a story told from long ago about a beggar standing by the roadside asking for alms from Alexander the Great as he passed by. That man was poor and wretched and had no right to even lift a considerate hand to Alexander the Great. And yet, the emperor threw him several gold coins. A nobleman was astonished at Alexander the Great's generosity, and he said to him, "Sir, copper coins would adequately meet the beggar's need. Why give him gold?" Alexander responded in royal fashion. "Copper coins would have suited the beggar's need, but the gold coins suit Alexander's generosity." It's not just about what others might need. It is what has God blessed us with and how we can be generous to others. Generosity, it is a readiness to give. It's liberal giving. It's big-heartedness. It's charity. It's kindness. The biblical sense of generosity has more to do with attitude than any aspect about the amount of the gift or donation. God desires a willingness, a willing attitude to be generous in his people. Mark 12, 42. "But a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, 'I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she out of her poverty put in everything, all she had to live on.'" That poor widow is mentioned in Scripture. If you go to buildings, if you go to places, you can see walls with plaques on it. You can see brick walks, each inscribed with names of who gave this amount and who gave that amount. It's not about the amount. It's about the attitude and the willingness. Generosity, the opposite of selfishness. Generosity is at the very center of Paul's writing in both 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. And the title is The Grace of Giving. How abundantly does God shower His grace upon us? He's pretty abundant with that grace. If you could have seen the water turn from red and brown to clear, and then He poured in a little bit more sin and it was wiped away, because God's grace is abundant. He's not stingy. He is generous. Paul has been receiving an offering from churches in the support of churches in Jerusalem. He had first received generously from Macedonian churches while trusting in the generosity of the Corinthian churches that will come. And he lifts up three keys of such generosity in giving: bountifully, deliberately, and cheerfully. Bountifully, in verse 6, sowing generously leads to reaping generously. Deliberately, in verse 7, give what you have decided to give. Cheerfully, verse 7, God loves a cheerful giver. Following up from chapter 8, Paul continues to encourage the Corinthians to be generous. Now, Paul knows their desire. He knows their willingness to give. And Paul offers a note, a positive note to them. Be ready and willing to give. And in reading those chapters, as I've said, Paul is very aware of the generous nature of the believers in the Corinthian church. He knows they're ready, but he doesn't want them to be caught off guard. And so he still sends this letter to remind them, to encourage them. But he's not trying to force them. He's not trying to manipulate them. It's important to note that Paul held up the Corinthians as an example for others in his travels. He has boasted about their generosity. He has boasted about their willingness. He has boasted about their readiness. And they meet his boasting. As we look at the verses in verse 6, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. A farmer plants seeds in anticipation of a future harvest. Christians must have that same practice in their heart. We give, reaping bountifully in the future. We are to trust God. We are to trust that God will provide with His giving heart. We are to live with faith in the Lord. There is insurance out there for everything. I was involved in a transaction yesterday, and they offered a couple of different types of insurance. There is insurance for every situation. Now, I don't want to say anything bad about insurance. It's necessary. It has its place. But Christians, we have to put our faith and trust that as we give generously, God will provide for our needs. We don't have to always hold back in case. We can give as the Lord leads. Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 9:7, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Giving is to be the very nature of each and every Christian. Every believer is to be a giver. And giving is to be motivated by the purposes of our own heart, never coerced or manipulated. It seems on the Sundays when I'm not preaching, I turn on the TV and I listen to a pastor or Sunday evening or those kind of things. And I listen to one specific pastor when I would visit in Montana, and that person is now on a channel I get at home. And over the last 10 years, that pastor's message has never changed. And it's all about planting seeds. And then he repeats and he repeats, and it's about coercion and manipulation. If you do this, you will get this. And he actually talks about amounts. There is no amount listed in what Paul offers because it's about the attitude. It's about the attitude. Verse 8, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Matthew 19, 29. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. Jesus Christ calls us to a life of sacrifice. Knowing that God will provide for our needs, we can be generous and we can give. We never lose what we give to God, because what we give first comes from God. As it is written, and Paul has quoted from Psalm 112, drawing from the past, he says, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Forever. Where is your heart? Where is your attitude? Matthew 6, 21. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Paul was assured of the giving nature of the Macedonian churches. He was assured of the giving nature of the Corinthian church. He knew their heart. He knew their heart, and he knows our heart. Verse 11, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. And that's why the offering is part of our worship of God. It's thanksgiving to God for what God has given to us. We share in the congregation as a history of being very generous. Generosity comes from a happy heart. Generosity comes from a happy heart. And generosity gives a happy heart. Even the smallest gift will be rewarded. Matthew 10, 42, Jesus says, if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. This last week at camp, an afternoon and evening, the campers all have canteen time. They can go to the canteen and get a beverage and they can get a snack. And they have a card that has punches on it. And if they, you know, first canteen, they get 2 punches and goes to the end. There are more punches on the card than there are canteen spaces. And the camp tells them if they want to, whatever punch they want to give, they can give that to missions. And every punch that is given to missions is $1. So those 115 campers last week, they gave $1,200 in punches, $1 at a time. Giving up that canteen time or sacrificing? Now, not everybody gave, I'm sure, but $1,200 just by $1 punch at a time. No gift is too small because it's about the attitude of giving to the Lord. Amen.
You heard this verse. You heard this verse a couple times in the sermon. I'm going to read it to you again. Corinthians 6, verse 7. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Let us give with joy to the Lord. I invite the ushers forward at this time. Thank you. recognize the ways in which you provide for us, and we thank you for your blessings, both material and spiritual. We now bring our gifts to you, accept them, use them and us so that others may be blessed and come to know you for themselves. Amen.
For our closing hymn this morning, we'll sing Give of Your Best to the Master. The words will be on the screen. And following the benediction, our benediction and song will be verse 2 of number 587, All Praise to Our Redeeming Lord.
Oh,
Remember that after the benediction and song, all are invited to be seated for the meeting, and we understand that those need to leave. May the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus your Lord. Amen.